So turn with me, if you will, to our Bibles. We're looking this Sunday, right after Christmas, to the book of Titus and chapter 3. You'll find it on page 998 in the church Bibles. We're actually going to read through from verses 4 to 8. And you know, I do really hope that you all had a wonderful and very merry Christmas. You received all the presents, all the gifts that you wanted. It reminds me of the story of the wife who woke up a couple of days before Christmas, and she leant over to her husband and said, "Darling, I had a most interesting dream last night." "Oh, what was that, sweetie?" "Well, darling, I dreamt that on Christmas morning, you give me a gift of a diamond necklace, you see. What do you think that dream means?" And so the husband said, "Well, just wait until Christmas morning and you'll find out." So Christmas morning arrived and the wife went downstairs and saw that indeed under the tree was a package, just the kind of thing that you would put a diamond necklace in. And with eager anticipation, she opened her gift to find inside a book on the interpretation of dreams. So you may have received the gift you wanted, or you may not. But either way, we're concluding our series we called Six Steps to Christmas. And my hope is that if you had a wonderful Christmas, this will be like the icing on the cake. And perhaps if you didn't have the Christmas you wanted, this will be a gift for you this morning that will more than make up for it. I've called the sermon The Loving Kindness of God, which of course is a wonderful gift. But right at the heart of the gift is a surprise. It's a surprising gift. Great gift, wonderful gift, but it's perhaps a little different than what we might have thought. And we have to unwrap that gift. So let's start by reading the Bible. We'll begin in verse 4. "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." So here's our Christmas, a somewhat delayed Christmas gift for us this morning. And it's the best Christmas gift that there is. I really want to persuade us of that. But it's also a bit of a surprise. I mean, it's something that perhaps we haven't quite thought of before. And as we unwrap the gift, we will find indeed something perhaps a little different than what we'd expected. And the surprise is in the contrast in this passage. And I'm going to show it to you on the screen so it's made very clear for us. This is not because of works done by us. So our salvation is not because of works. That's probably a familiar thought. But it is so that we would devote ourselves to good works. So it is not by works, but it is for works. You say, "Well, why is that a surprise?" Well, the surprise is, I think, perhaps for many who grew up in church or have heard a lot of Christian culture kind of messages, that the gift of Christmas is, yes, a cleansing message. So Jesus comes into our lives by his Holy Spirit and he cleanses us from unrighteousness. It is a cleansing message. It is a cleansing gift. But the gift of Christmas is also a changing gift. It transforms us. It makes us entirely new. Now, each of our six steps to Christmas have had a single word, and this last step to Christmas has the single word, work, work. And that's actually a theme throughout this book of Titus. Of course, we won't go through it all, but Paul was writing to his friend Titus, telling him to establish the work more fully on this island of Crete, a beautiful island, temperate weather, historic civilization, and great climates, and very much a relaxed and pretty easygoing place to live, still today, I expect, certainly then. And he told Timothy to make sure that these Cretans were not lazy, they did not misunderstand the gift, and at the end of each of the chapters, he encourages them to realize they have to work hard. So chapter 2, verse 14, to be zealous for good works. Chapter 3, verse 14, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. And that's contrasted by the end of chapter 1, where those who are not yet believers, they profess to know God, but they don't deny him by their works. So what he's saying to these Christians in Crete is this surprising gift, that the gift of Christmas not only cleanses us, it changes us. And this idea of work. And in particular, he's telling us here to work for Jesus. And here in this passage, he very simply gives us two reasons for that. First, we work for Jesus because we're not saved by works. And second, we work for Jesus because we are saved for works. So first of all, we work for Jesus because we're not saved by works. Let's hear it again, verses 4 to 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, my friends, what a great gift. What an amazing gift is this. I wonder, we started with that joke about a gift that perhaps wasn't what the wife wanted for Christmas, but I wonder what was the best Christmas gift you received this Christmas. Perhaps something comes to your mind. You think, yeah, that's the one. It was really amazing. I was so glad for that. And that's a great thing, isn't it? It makes you feel that someone really understands what you wanted, and there it is for you, and you open it up, and it makes your day, and it gives you a warm feeling inside. And we give gifts to other people as well, of course, at Christmas, and we do it to remind ourselves, the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts, of the much greater gift of Jesus. That's why the Christmas tradition of giving gifts emerged. He came as a baby. He lived, he died, he rose again so that he might save us. And Paul underlines this gift many times in the passage in front of us. This gift is the goodness and loving kindness of God. What a great gift. So often we think, because something happens in our lives, how is it possible that God is still good? How is it possible that God is still loving? Well, we look at Christmas, and we're reminded of the goodness and loving kindness of God. What a gift we have, God's loving kindness. But this gift is also his own mercy. Again, what a gift. Whatever we've done, however we've lived our lives, we think to ourselves, how is it possible that I could be accepted by the holy God? And then we look at Christmas, and we understand the gift of God's mercy. Whatever we've done, he has mercy on us. What is more, this gift is the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What a gift! He comes into our own lives and is born within us so that we're made new by the Holy Spirit. That's an extraordinary gift, isn't it? It's not just something that happened in Bethlehem. It's something that can happen to us today, that Jesus, by his Spirit, born in our hearts. What an amazing gift. And this gift is being justified by his grace. Because of what Jesus did when he died for us, we're not only forgiven our sins, we're declared right in God's sight because of the righteousness of Jesus. He looks at you and sees that you're righteous because of what Jesus did for you. Being justified by his grace, you're in a right standing with God. Nothing can take it away from you. For Jesus is righteous, and you have his righteousness. What an amazing gift! And even more than that, the Apostle Paul underlines, this gift is that we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Well, what a gift is that? Not just for now, not just for tomorrow, not just for this age, but for ages upon ages, forever. The hope of eternal life, that is the sure and certain hope. As fixed as Jesus is in heaven, so is our secure and certain hope of eternal life. What a gift. We're given freely and forever the certain promise of living forever with Jesus in heaven. What a gift. I heard of a man once who was given a great gift. Underneath the tree was a small package. It was from his fiance and his girlfriend. And he'd been asking her to marry him for months, but he hadn't yet quite got to the stage where they were now engaged. And each time he'd been asking her, she had said, "Not yet, I'm not quite yet ready." She was his girlfriend, not yet his fiance. And there was a gift, though, from her. And he opened up her gift to him. And inside were the keys to a brand new Porsche, or Porsche, or a grand new Porsche, all for him. That's an amazing gift. He thought of driving it down the highway. He imagined all the amazing things he could do when the cops would not pull him over. He'd find a way through. He'd go very fast. And he took out the keys and he looked at them, and then he noticed inside the box there was also a handwritten note. "You can have the keys to the car, or instead, I'll say yes to marry you. The choice is yours." And he looked at her. Oh, she was so beautiful and so lovely, and he looked at the car keys. He said, why must I choose? Can I not have you and the Porsche? She said, "Because I want you to realize just how great a gift I am. Greater than a Porsche." So he thought for a moment. And you remember the phrase, "What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine." He got out some wrapping paper, wrapped the car keys in the paper, and gave it to his girlfriend and said, "I pick you. Now open your gift from me and let's go for a drive." Now, sometimes, of course, in real life, we do have to choose. And there is a certain sense in which, as Jesus makes it clear, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We do need to make Jesus our Lord and pick him above everything else. Yes. But the loving kindness, the mercy, the new life, the heaven forever, that was all worth far more than a Porsche. Can you see just how great a gift this is? Because we're not saved by works. It's a gift. And of course, that's so motivating to serve him, isn't it? To give our lives for him. We realize what he has done, and we will do anything for him. We work for Jesus first because we're not saved by works. But also, second, we work for Jesus because we are saved for works. Look again at verse 8. The saying is trustworthy. We looked at the trustworthy saying on Christmas Eve. Paul actually wrote five of these to his friends Timothy and Titus. Here's another one. Verse 8, the saying is trustworthy, trustworthy. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who believe in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Now, I said this gift is surprising. It's surprising because it not only cleanses us, it changes us. And for those who have believed, we are exhorted. It's more than just encouraged, insisted upon. We're exhorted to devote ourselves to good works. Cretans, we're not to be lazy, we're to work for Jesus. You say, well, what sort of good works are these? Well, earlier in the same chapter, the Bible tells us, verse 1 and 2 of this chapter 3, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Well, so those are the kind of good works that we are to do, to submit to our leaders, obey them. Don't slander anyone. Don't get into quarrels. It's so easy to do that, isn't it, when all the family's around, you get into an argument about something or other, and you think, why are we arguing about this? Just let it lie. Be gentle to everyone, courteous. That's what Paul is talking about when he talks about these good works. Well, again, then, if that's what we are to do, what sort of things are we to avoid? What are the bad works we are to avoid? Well, it's what we were like before we became a Christian. And so verse 3 tells us about that. Foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. What a description of the world. Constant jealousy, constant striving to get ahead, pretending to like each other, but really hating and being hated. But when we receive the loving kindness of God, Paul's telling us we are to stop living like that, pursuing foolish passions and hating each other, always trying to get ahead and push other people down. No, instead, we are to be gentle, avoid quarreling, speak evil of no one. And that most countercultural Christian virtue, be obedient to our leaders. And these good works that we are to do are to be insisted upon. Well, what a surprising gift this is. It's bigger than better than any other gift, for yes, it cleanses us. Yes, it does. We're made righteous. We have the gift of the Spirit forever. It cleanses us. But not only does it cleanse us, it also changes us. And then we're exhorted to live like that. Let us then stop arguing with others foolishly. So easy, isn't it, to get into email argument or an argument online or whatever it may be. Let's stop pursuing foolish passions, the ridiculousness of some of the lust that is constantly thrust upon us by various aspects of our culture today, those foolish passions. And let's stop envying other people for their achievements, the bigger house, the nicer car, whatever it may be. Instead, let us be gentle. Let us be obedient. Let us trust the living God who saved us so that we have not only Jesus in our lives, but we live like Jesus in our daily lives too. So my friends, very simply this morning, work for Jesus for two reasons. Because we're not saved by works, a familiar thought. But here in this letter to Titus, Paul is saying something that is wrapped up in the same gift that we also need to unwrap. We are saved for works. The gift that cleanses us also is to change us. A 10-year-old boy came down on Christmas morning to find a gift for him by the fireplace. He opened up all the various gifts, and then the very last one was this gift, which was a surprise. It was not a toy car. It was not a toy airplane. It was not a new game for his Wii remote or Game Boy or whatever it may be. No, it was a key. No, not a key to a Porsche. Just a key. And beside it was a little handwritten note. The note said this: "This key was given to me by my father when I was 10, and now I give it to you. And when you have a son, you'll give it to him." So he turned over the key and saw on the reverse side the single word, love. It was the key to his heart. And it's the key to other people's hearts too. And having been given love, the loving kindness of God, he was now to give love to others too. This gift, this surprising gift, turned him into a giver as well. It did not just cleanse him, it changed him. And so he lived the rest of his life, having received love, giving that love to others. Working for Jesus. Not saved by works, but saved for works. Let's bow our heads and pray together. We thank you, Father God, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it comes into our lives to transform us. It doesn't just cleanse us, it changes us. And we pray, Lord, as we move past Christmas and begin now to look ahead to the new year, that we would be the kind of church that is, yes, zealous for good works, that because of your loving kindness, we are filled with loving kindness as well. Thank you that we are like that. We pray we would be more and more like that. We pray for that for us as individuals too. Help us to not be quarrelsome, but gentle, filled with love and good fruit. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this extended time we've been thinking about the real meaning of Christmas. Help us now, Lord, having grasped its meaning, to be grasped by you, and so not only cleansed but changed. We pray this be true in the precious name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. Amen.